Welcome to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken. Shep will talk with some of the smartest thinkers in business to help make you more successful in your professional and personal life. This is Amazing Business Radio with Shep Hyken.
Hello, everybody. It's Shep Hyken here. We're back with another episode of Amazing Business Radio. You know, it's early in the year, and I think we need a little bit of motivation and inspiration. So I have turned to a legend in the industry. His name is Art Turok. He's an elite performer in two areas, not just in business, but as you'll hear, I'm going to ask him about, he became an elite athlete at an older age, and I want to learn more about that. But he's going to be talking about accountability, and he's got a unique twist on it. All I can say is this is an episode for everybody, but especially managers, leaders, CEOs, owners of business who manage people on the front line, talking to customers, taking care of customers. This is a really important episode for you to learn a certain type of language and questioning technique that will drive better results. So with that in mind, before we get into the interview, quick announcement. If you have a story about amazing service you want to share with me, or you have a question. And if you do have a question, I want you to go to all the social media channels. I'm there. Just leave it in one of them. Use the hashtag Ask Shep. I'll either answer it there on this show, in my newsletter, or on my TV show, Be Amazing or Go Home. And you can find episodes on Amazon, Roku, Apple TV, or just go to beamazing.tv. That is beamazing.tv. All right, everybody, let's get into the interview. Art, welcome to the show.
Shep, I am delighted to be on a podcast that focuses on amazing customer service and customer experience because it parallels beautifully with my emphasis on delivering elite performance.
I know. And how many years have I known you? Like 35, maybe?
Yeah.
I feel like I've known you forever.
That's about right.
Yeah. And when we were talking before the show, I just want everybody to know, I said, you know, hey, this guy is great. We're breaking away from the typical customer service expert. Just yesterday, as I recorded a podcast, I was talking to a guy that started an AI customer service metrics business. Is it that exciting? And actually, for me, it is exciting, but we're going to get in. You know, it's January, and when this episode releases, and what a great time of the year to get a little motivation. And your concepts, as they apply to customer service, not only are valid, but they're motivating and inspiring as well. So before we get into it, you know, you are, I've known you, you're an athlete. I mean, I look at you, you're thin, you're skinny, you make me jealous. You're good, you have hair, you make me jealous. So, but seriously, how long have you been doing this? Give us like just a real quick 30-second overview of Art Turok's career.
Well, speaker for 40 years on the platform. Spoke to 125 Fortune 500 companies, and my focus was on the food industry, particularly.
Hey, everybody loves to eat.
Yeah. As far as sports, when I was 55, I took up track and field.
Yeah, it's never too late to start something like that.
Exactly. And, you know, I had been physically an athlete. Let's put it this way. I had worked out. I had done running and weightlifting. But I saw an 85-year-old Japanese man run the 100 meters in 22 seconds. I said, I need a breath of fresh air. I'm going to become a sprinter. That led me to going to a football camp for adults.
Like NFL football or soccer?
No, USC Trojan football camp.
Oh, my gosh.
I went back for 4 years, and it was such an amazing experience led by head coach Pete Carroll.
Well, you know, you and I have kind of a parallel life in that matter. I started playing ice hockey when I was 40. I played one season at age 12, and it wasn't even a full season. Age 40, I buy my son at 10 years old hockey skates so we can skate, and I buy a set for me so we could skate together on the weekends and have fun. And next thing you know, I'm playing hockey, and I still, to this day, I play 4 days a week, and I did these camps with professional NHL players. And boy, you know, I'm thinking this is the greatest, playing with these elite athletes, learning what they're thinking, how they do it. Never going to be that good. But yeah, that's fun. Well, let's jump into business, shall we? And your most recent book, competent is not an option. And you've written a number of books. I believe you've written 4 books.
Yes.
Yep. Competent is not an option. I agree. We need people that are competent and can make decisions and are accountable to their company and to the customer. And not only that, the companies empower them to allow them to use that competence. So tell us about the book and what inspired you to write it.
What inspired me to write it was being at the football camp. And I saw the way the assistant coaches helped the players develop strength, flexibility, endurance, movement, all the things that are required to be even play on a football field. Then I saw the football coaches work on the entire offense and defensive teams and how they need to coordinate to execute plays. And I said, wow, this never would happen, this level of focus and excellence in a business. So I said, huh, that's a great topic for a book.
There you go. And you wrote it.
Competent is not an option. How to apply the talent development methods of sports teams to business. Pure and simple.
I love it. So what are some of the performance improvement methods that you talk about and separate these elite athletes from just mere mortals? And by the way, as I think about that question and the way I phrased it, I'm thinking that we can all be elite if we just decide we want to and work into it. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. If you decide to be competent, you're going to do standard, more of the same, tried and true methods. If you say, I'm committed, like no matter what, this is going to be my destiny, elite, all of a sudden you're starting to take risks, experiments, innovations, look for best practices. You're in a whole different career pattern.
Yep. So, you've got a great example of this. I think that you asked that, and I've not heard the example, but you said, I've got a great example. Can I share it with the audience?
Yeah, I'm going to set that up with a point and then move right into the example.
Okay, cool.
The two things you get from sports, big ones, mindset mastery and deliberate practice. So quickly, mindset mastery, what that means, in business, the focus is so much, Shep, on observables, choices, actions, results. Sports teams realize mindset is the trigger. The interpretation you make of the circumstances then dictates the choices, actions, and results. So they put focus on superior mindset. It's a brilliant method. Two main mindsets, the victim mindset that says essentially, I'll get done results that circumstances allow me, that circumstances permit. I mean, listen to that language. That's the basic framing. Extreme accountability. I'm going to make commitments no matter what. Zero tolerance for excuses. I will do what's required.
Yeah, and you know what's nice?
Dramatic difference.
And that's not just in sports. And that's why you can apply it to business, because it's the best people in the world of any industry, sports, entertainment, business. It doesn't matter. The people that are elite performers are thinking exactly the way you're talking about right now.
Yeah. Now, look, perfect setting for the case example I want to share. Daphne Scott, math professor, Washington State University. She had a dream for years. She was just bugged by the widely held belief, I suck at math. Very popular on college campuses.
She thought that of herself?
No. This is what she hears from students.
Oh, from students. Got it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she didn't know how to intervene to change that type of thinking. So she joined my Intrepid Freedom Crusaders. This was a 90-day field test of elite performance improvement methods. And by the end of it, she said, I've got the solution. She brought me to class early in the term to teach a session on mindset mastery. She would then be able to follow up the remainder of the term, and it became part of their course evaluation. So two key behaviors that we focused on. One was overcoming fear of volunteering to solve math problems in front of class. Big panic, I'll make mistakes, and who knows, maybe my classmates will describe my mistakes on social media. Big Ooh. Fear.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Second one, fear of struggling with homework assignments. So what the students do, they come home, math is the toughest homework. Let's put that off. And they end up not putting enough time into the most difficult subject that they're dealing with. So that's what we focused on. Elite students do those things, of course.
Yeah.
And that was the intent. We did two things. Number one, make them aware of their victim mindset. And Shep, what's really interesting for your listeners is there are three rules of reasonableness that run victim mindset. Let me be very explicit. One is your feelings. Do I feel up to it? Do I feel enough confidence, enthusiasm? Am I feeling stress? It's all about feelings, making the decision about what you're going to do, your effort. Second is circumstances. Are these favorable circumstances or unfavorable circumstances? Ouch. Third, history. The best predictor of future performance is past performance. What have I done in the past? Maybe I can notch it up a little. So forget about having breakthroughs.
Yeah.
Those are the rules of reasonableness. That's what I'm teaching these kids.
You know, the last one.
See, their jaws dropping because it was hitting home.
Yeah. That last one's a big one. It's because it's been that way. I'm assuming I'm going to be stuck in that same rut, even though I might get a little further. But the breakthrough is you just need to make a decision, it sounds like, and decide this is what I want, and I'm going to move forward. And
that's
then
that was
most important, and I know you teach this, you have a path that you suggest people make. And I know we don't have time to go into everything in the book. Matter of fact, let's do this. Let's take a short break. And we've got this great story of the example that you shared. Is it a good time for a break?
Just let me finish one piece and we can.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. The second part, you know, awareness is the first step to a cure.
Yep.
The second step is taking action, which is what you're already speaking to. So let's complete that point.
I naturally went that direction because that's what you have to do.
Exactly. So what I share with the kids in this class is Winston Churchill's quote as the key point. Sometimes doing your best isn't good enough. Sometimes you must do what is required. And that had a ripple effect. So instead of tolerating the excuses, you move into what's required, what's required, what's required. That becomes the obsessive focus. And when we looked at the student evaluations at the end of the class, Shep, I was in tears.
In a positive way.
Describing things that went
you were in
beyond
happy
the math
tears.
Class.
Happy tears, not sad tears.
Happy tears.
It's exactly.
Like changing my relationship with my dad or doing ice skating that I had never done before in my life. So yeah. Daphne provided customer service to her student customers.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing.
Yep. And anytime that you are in front of a customer and you have a choice, I just got off the phone 30 minutes with customer support people just prior to us getting on this call today. I said, mm-hmm. I have to go. Finally got off. And I was talking to a person who they wanted to help so badly, they weren't empowered to do it. And they couldn't take the next step, which I think would have been a reasonable step to take. And I don't want to give you the whole story because this is your hour, not mine, or your time, not mine. But I get it. They were doing, they weren't allowed to use their own brains. And I think what you're telling the students is stop worrying about failure. Just do what you're supposed to do. You're going to learn. If you do everything that's required, you will learn and you will get there at the end and you'll be happy. Great, great, great idea. Great story. Great example. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about this idea that you want to stop holding people accountable. And as a business owner and leader myself, I'm thinking, wait a minute, I do hold people accountable. So I want to know what you're thinking about that. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to the legend, Art Turok, an elite performer in both business and in sports. And we're coming right back in just a moment. One of my favorite sayings is that customer service isn't a department. It's a philosophy. And it's a philosophy that must be embraced by everyone in the organization all the time, and that's 24/7. So if customer service is important to you, and I know it is, then you will love our virtual training, the ultimate on-demand customer service and experience training program that you can access anytime, anywhere. Now, the course content applies to everyone, regardless of position or responsibility, from senior executives to the most recently hired and everyone in between. You'll discover tips, ideas, and strategies that won't cost your company a fortune, but will produce what I call moments of magic, those positive experiences, and it will happen at every level of your organization. So go to Customer Service VT. That's V as in virtual, T as in training. That's CustomerServiceVT.com. It's time to get customer focused.
You're listening to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken.
We are back on Amazing Business Radio. We are talking with Art Turok, and you have this concept about not holding people accountable, which, as I mentioned just a moment ago, is counterintuitive to everything that I think is a business owner. I want to empower people to do the job that they're supposed to do, hopefully not get in their way and micromanage. And they need to be accountable for the results if they understand what the results are. So, great wise one, tell me why you think that's not the way it should be.
The flaw is in the method. When people hold others accountable, this is my experience. When I talk to my business managers, they ask, listen to the questions they ask. What caused you to miss the deadline? Why didn't the results we planned for get accomplished? What happened that prevented you from achieving your goals? Now, what kind of answers are you going to get from people when you ask questions like that to hold them accountable?
Defensive answers.
Exactly. Defensive answers. Blaming, especially. Blaming circumstances. Things didn't work out. So what you're surfacing is a victim mindset. That's why you stop holding people accountable with using blaming enhancement questions. The method is flawed. The reverse is inviting accountability.
So how do you, what are the questions that would turn, that are non-victim type questions that
I'm going to share those momentarily. Let me give you an example of how subtle inviting accountability can be. So here I am, this is some years ago, in front of a Vistage audience. These are all CEOs, right?
Vistage is a group, for those who don't know it, Vistage is an organization international where groups of CEOs or owners of businesses get together and they mastermind, they talk, and they usually bring in amazing resources like Art Turok to talk to them.
I have a drill for inviting accountability called, look at this, Shep, the red flag drill.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the flag that NFL coaches throw at referees when they want a review of a call that was just made. I use this in workshops. I keep it in my pocket all the time. I could be at the grocery store.
You're going to tell me you're going to throw that flag at the cashier?
Exactly. If I hear blaming, I will throw the red flag. And you don't want to be my seatmate on an airline flight.
Oh, no.
So I'm in the Vistage meeting and, you know, I hear a phrase, my time gets hijacked. Red flag, toss it at the CEO. And then I walk over and we start doing some coaching. I'm asking some questions, and then all of a sudden, the individual realizes, I can't keep saying my time gets hijacked. I'm choosing to not take charge of my calendar. I'm choosing not to set discretionary time and letting my employees know I will not have interactions during this period of time. And throughout the meeting, I kept throwing red flags. The group got so excited, they said, we're going to bring red flags next month. And then a month after that, we're going to make this part of our meeting culture. And who knows how many CEOs took it home to their company as well. So my point is, accountability is so rare that it gets very exciting. It gets inspiring when you see accountability can be done, not in a heavy-handed fashion.
Yeah, my mind is racing with ideas on the proper question. It's not even the proper questions. It's the mindset of I don't want to be a victim of anything. You know, why didn't I get this article finished today? Well, it's my own damn fault because it took too long at lunch or I spent a few minutes doing something else. But I have to recognize I got to take responsibility for what's fallen in my lap. And you're right. When that CEO said, my time is hijacked, that's because they are letting that time get hijacked and they're allowing it. So How do you do that? Well, you set parameters, I would assume. Kind of create personal, you create personal expectations and you make those clear to others so that they can follow. There's why a professor has office hours where a student can go and talk about anything related to the course between the hours of 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock on Tuesday and Thursday. And by the way, if you don't take advantage of that, it's your darn fault, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Now let's go in with the flow where you were taking me. And that was, what do these questions sound like when you invite accountability? Mm-hmm. Okay. Listen to these and compare them to my original series of blaming enhancement questions. All right.
Okay.
So questions like, what actions do you choose to take that are ineffective in achieving your goals? What actions do you choose to avoid that undermine your efforts to achieve your desired results? What justifications do you choose to accept as valid reasons for not accomplishing your desired results? You can see there's a pattern in these questions. Choose, choose, choose.
Mm-hmm.
And here are the last pair or the last series. What short-term payoffs do you choose to accept when you tolerate ineffective behaviors and missed results? So immediate guaranteed
what
long-term
short-term payoffs
do you choose to accept when you tolerate ineffective behavior and missed results? Now, short-term payoffs could be anything like, oh, I want to avoid increased responsibility. I want to avoid taking on new problems. I want to avoid raising customer expectations. All kinds of things, short-term payoffs. Those are guaranteed. Here's the next question that is the real jigs-up question. If you choose to continue these undermining behaviors and accept the short-term payoffs, what results are you going to miss out on now and in the long term? Bam! So what we've done in those last series of questions is you're juxtaposing the short-term payoffs, which are very seductive, and now you're looking attentively at the long-term disasters, the long-term missed results, and you have to then confront that discrepancy.
Right. Then you get a choice and you get to decide what is, how, and by the way, you may say, you know what, I'm going to accept this lack of accountability on this one, but at least you're making a conscious decision about it and understanding what's going to happen. You know, there's consequences. And by the way, I use the word consequences, and most everybody I talk to believe consequences are penalties, right? No, consequences are results of something you're doing. And sometimes they're really good consequences.
Yes. In the way I'm asking these questions, these would be unwanted consequences.
Right.
But that's part of the motivation, is you want to avoid the negative consequences. Don't get seduced by the immediate guaranteed short-term payoff. I call this the colossal deception. It is the worst form of mental trickery that I know, and it comes from a victim mindset.
Wow.
It's avoided by an accountability mindset.
And all of this is in the book, Competent is Not an Option.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So everybody knows that's the book. You go to Amazon, you buy it. It's the early part of the year. What a better time to say, okay, let's start this year fresh with an attitude that we, it's not an option. We need to be competent. We need to make good decisions. We need to, as you say, stop holding people accountable and take accountability for yourself and understand the consequences if you choose not to, and understand consequences if you do. Let's wrap this up with the one question I ask at the end of every interview, the one thing, the one last nugget of wisdom. And I know you've got a whole lot of these wisdom nuggets that you can drop on us today, but what's the one you want to share as we wrap up the show?
I would say the issue of accountability. Maybe there are two nuggets of wisdom, if you will. When you choose the dominant mindset, victim or accountable, you determine whether your performance is going to be competent or elite. And over time, you determine the destiny of your career, and you're determining the destiny of your life.
It's a mindset. It's the way to think about everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, I have a gift for your audience, and that is to share these questions that we've been going over with the in our conversation, so they actually have a download, a PDF.
Oh, okay. And we'll put that in our notes. But how do we get that? We go to, Art Turok?
I can tell you exactly where. Yep. ArtTurok.com.
Yep. And that's T-U-R-O-C-K.
T-U-R-O-C-K.
ArtTurok.com.
G-U-I-D-E.
Okay. ArtTurok.com/guide. G-U-I-D-E. Great. That's you do it. That and you are getting the questions and you'll be on your way to making better decisions. And what a great time to do this. Art, you know, I know as I think about what we talked about today, this is for everybody, but especially managers and leaders and owners and CEOs of businesses. You need to know this because this is the kind of communication technique, especially what we talked about in the first half of the show, that you want to be using and thinking about as you interact with the people you lead and manage and hopefully grow. So thank you so much for being on the show. This has been a fantastic episode.
Thank you for the privilege. Competent is not an option, and elite performance is the new reality that you lead into with an extraordinary accountability mindset.
Well said. Well said. All right, everybody, we're wrapping it up. That's another episode of Amazing Business Radio, and we will be back next week with another interview. And until that time, this is Shep Hyken reminding you to always be amazing.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.